Page 458, Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. Let us hear God's word together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let us pray. The Father in heaven, as we have read this ancient poem, these words that have been familiar to many of us over the years, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through them once again today. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known and most beloved of all of the 150 Psalms in the Psalter. Millions of people have memorized these words, even those who have learned few other portions of Scripture. Ministers have used this poem to comfort the sick and dying. Soldiers and sailors have recited these words as they boarded ships that took them off to war. Politicians have even used them to bolster their speeches and reassure the American people during times of trouble. And slaves recited these words as they awaited liberation. Take your bulletin and turn to the image that you have on the cover today. Take a look at the painting before us. This piece is titled "The Lord is My Shepherd." It was painted by the American artist Eastman Johnson in 1863 and is currently on display in the Smithsonian American Art Museum. Johnson painted it just after the Emancipation Proclamation was announced in 1863. Its imagery includes an African-American man reading the first part of his Bible, possibly the book of Exodus. And he's sitting against a jacket. You can't tell in this picture, but if you were looking at the one in the Smithsonian, the jacket is blue, which may indicate service in the Union Army. President Abraham Lincoln had recently authorized the organization of the United States Colored Troops. Do you see it in the picture as you look at the man's face reading his Bible? The Lord is my shepherd. Over the past 3,000 years, Psalm 23 has offered comfort and hope to countless souls who were suffering a wide array of affliction. As we focus our attention on this little poem this morning, I pray that these words will be like a balm in Gilead to heal our sin-sick souls and to help us overcome whatever obstacles we may be facing in our lives today. And so let us begin. David begins his psalm by introducing the metaphor of a shepherd and his flock. During his youth, you might remember, before he became king, David was a shepherd who kept watch over his father's flocks, and so he was quite familiar with this imagery. The psalm is no doubt a masterpiece all the way through, but if ever a psalm could stand on almost a single line, it would surely be this one. The Lord is my shepherd. What an amazing juxtaposition of ideas. On the one hand, we have the Lord, which is the English translation of the great Old Testament personal name for God, which was first disclosed to Moses at the burning bush. Do you remember when God spoke to Moses there? And Moses asked, "What is your name?" And God said, "I am who I am." It's his covenant name, which refers to his timelessness and his self-sufficiency. Yahweh, God, has no beginning and no end. And he doesn't have to rely on anyone for anything. He is Lord over all. On the other side of this amazing combination of ideas is the word shepherd. In Israel, as in other ancient societies, shepherding was considered as the lowest of low of work. Shepherding was a dirty job. Shepherds had to live with their sheep 24 hours a day, on hot summer days, sleeping on the ground on cold winter nights. In fair weather and foul, they labored against the harsh elements to feed and guide and protect their sheep. Who in their right mind would choose to be a shepherd? Nobody. Yet, Yahweh has chosen to be our shepherd. The transcendent Lord of heaven and earth has stooped low to take care of us. The Holy One decided to take on the lowly position of a shepherd and get his hands and his feet dirty to give us what we need to thrive in this life and in the next. And it's precisely because the Lord is our shepherd that we shall not be in want. Because of the Lord's constant loving care for his flock, we have everything that we need for contentment. Left to themselves, sheep lack everything. They're totally helpless and defenseless animals and cannot care for themselves. But under the shepherd's care, their needs are abundantly met. And so, as it was for David, it is for all believers who are under the care of him who is eternal and all-sufficient. Those of us who are God's sheep, precious to him, shall not be in want. We will lack nothing. The next few verses reveal some of the specific ways that the Holy Shepherd cares for his helpless sheep. Notice in verse 2, look at it with me. The first way the shepherd cares for his sheep is by providing physical needs. The good shepherd leads his sheep to what? Green pastures and still waters. The shepherd had to work diligently to find grassy meadows in the airy desert. If the shepherd did not find grass for a sheep to eat, guess what would happen? The sheep would starve to death. Sheep cannot find food on their own. They get lost. They get very confused. The shepherd has to lead them to green meadows where they can feed. Likewise, did you know that sheep can't drink from running water? Isn't that interesting? Sheep are such timid animals that if they come upon a river or a creek where water is moving, especially swiftly, they're too afraid to go in and get a drink. And so what shepherds have to do is actually pick up rocks and create a dam so that a pool of water, still water, is created so that the sheep feel comfortable enough to go up and drink. Talk about providing your needs. It's not as simple as just filling up the water bowl for your dog and putting it out there, is it? Shepherding requires so much more. If the sheep were to survive, it depended solely on the shepherd's provision. Do you have any physical needs? Sure, we do. Some of us have physical needs that we're not even aware of. But the good news is that the Holy Shepherd does. He not only knows our needs, but he has the ability to provide them. Just last Sunday, our family was in Ohio celebrating Independence Day with some of our best friends from college. After we left Tennessee and got Max and Deanna settled in, we went to spend a few days with our friends in Ohio. And after church last Sunday, one of my best friends was the pastor, preached a good sermon. We had brunch together. It was a lovely day, and we decided to take all of our kids for a leisurely afternoon hike at a park. And so we boarded up, and let me emphasize, all the kids, into 4 minivans and headed down the road. And as we got in a few miles into our journey, I'm driving our black minivan, and all of a sudden, as I press the accelerator, I begin to hear a thump and a rattle and a hum from underneath the hood, and I thought, oh boy, that doesn't sound very good. As I kept on going, I began to slow down for an encroaching red light, and all of a sudden I felt my power steering go out, and that steering wheel was as stiff as a board. And then as the van rolled to a slow stop, it stalled out right in the intersection. And no matter how many times I tried to crank the engine, it would not start. It was as dead as a doornail. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. This van is not that old. It doesn't have that many miles on it. It should not be doing this, especially when we're trying to go for a hike with all of these kids. But thankfully, our friends and the cars ahead and behind recognized what had happened, and they all circled around. And very quickly, the guys got out, and we were able to push the van out of the intersection, off the road, into an abandoned parking lot that was there. And then here's how the story proceeded from there. My good friends, who are members of one church, once said, "Let me call my friend Clay, who is an elder at the church, who is also just happens to be the general manager of a local Chrysler dealership." And so we got the car towed to the dealership the very next morning and got fast-tracked right to the first car online in the shop to get looked at. And so as we're waiting, we just continued on through our Monday activities, a 4th of July party. It was a lot of fun. But later in the day, we got word that it's bad news. Valves in the engine had completely blown. They could fix it, but it was going to cost over $4,000 and was going to take 5 days to get the parts, which wasn't going to work for us because I had to preach here this morning. And so we realized at that moment we were going to have to find a new vehicle. But thankfully, again, my good friend Todd, who we were staying with, one of my best friends from college, is a manager of a car dealership. And so he immediately went and looked at what he had on the lot, and basically 2 minivans to choose from, which, if you didn't know this, because of COVID, there's a major shortage on used cars in our country right now. As a matter of fact, while we were in Tennessee, Max was looking to buy a new car, and I remember thinking to myself, I sure am glad I'm not in the car market right now. And little did I know, a few days later, I would be looking for a new van. But my friend Todd took Tuesday off work and drove us to his dealership and got us hooked up. And when we walked into the dealership, he rolled out the red carpet for us and gave us an incredible deal and exceptional service. As a matter of fact, when we were doing all the paperwork to get the trade and getting into a new van, one of his employees came up to me and said, You must be really good friends because he doesn't do this type of thing for anybody else." And so it was in that moment, as we were pulling out and driving away in our new van, that I was able to just look up to heaven and thank the Lord for his miraculous provision. not only providing the financial resources ahead of time to provide what we needed, but also providing good friends to help us out of a jam when we needed it most. And so I'll say this, that it may not be green pastures or still waters, but whenever the Lord provides a new Toyota Sienna with low mileage, I'll take it anytime I can get it. But how about you? Have you ever experienced anything like that? When you had some physical need, whether it was monetary, material, or maybe even your health, and someone or something showed up right in the at the moment, and you just knew that it was God providing for you? Maybe a check that showed up in the mail. Maybe a new job with a higher wage. Maybe a faithful friend who happened to come by at the right moment when you needed a helping hand. Just as the shepherd provides food and drink for his sheep, God really does provide for the needs of all of his people. In verse 3, David shifts his attention from physical needs to spiritual needs. Just as a shepherd rescues his sheep from dangerous positions and guides them to safety, God restores our weary souls and guides us through seasons of spiritual difficulty. This restoration alludes to what is sometimes called a cast sheep. Has anyone ever heard of a cast sheep before? There was only one person at East Franklin, and he happened to be a veterinarian, so he was very much aware of this. A cast sheep is this. After a sheep feeds on green pastures long enough and has a big, full belly, sometimes they lie down in the grass and actually get tipped over, but they can't get back up on their feet, and all of a sudden gases inside their digestive system begin to bloat, and it cuts off circulation to their legs, and they die. It's sort of like some of us, how we feel after Thanksgiving, after we eat all that turkey and stuffing, and then we sit down on the couch to watch football, and we can't even get up back up on our feet. We can wobble to the left or to the right, but that's about as far as we can get. Thankfully, we're not like sheep, and we're not going to get circulation to our legs cut off. But that's what would happen to sheep. And if a shepherd did not come and rescue a cast sheep in that condition, it would perish. Also, unlike other animals, sheep lack a sense of direction and become easily lost, even in the most familiar of environments. They easily go astray and are prone to wandering. The shepherd must continually guide them on the right path if they are to be moved from pasture to pasture without falling off of crevices and ragged cliffs. Sometimes we are like cast sheep. We're spiritually on our backs, quite helpless. Our souls are tired and frustrated, and we are in need of spiritual restoration. I wonder if anyone feels like that in their lives right now. Just tired, weary, frustrated with the burdens of life. Maybe going through a spiritual dry spell where we are wondering where God is and where we fit in his plan. Sometimes we're like lost sheep. We face situations in life and we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn. We don't know where to go. Sometimes we get caught in sin and selfishness and other things that hinder us from the life of thriving that God has called us to. Maybe you're facing some difficult situation and you're in need of guidance today. Well, the good news is that the Lord is our shepherd. He guides us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us. He is with us. The Holy Shepherd is the one who has the answers that we need. He will restore our souls and guide us in paths of righteousness. Look at verse 4 for a moment. The poem shifts back from spiritual needs to physical needs. And here we find the need for protection. This verse is often used to comfort the sick and the dying. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This verse primarily speaks of the shepherd's ability to protect his sheep in moments of danger. It's a picture of the shepherd leading his flock through a dark valley where there are many dangers on all sides. In the context in which the psalm was written, David is alluding to the lowland valleys that the shepherds would take their sheep through to bed for the winter. And when they passed through these dark valleys, these were places that were known for robbers to hang out and hinder people along their journey. There was also threat of wild animals that would lurk in the backgrounds and jump out and attack them along the way. And so these were real dangers that they were facing. But because of the shepherd, the sheep did not have to fear. For he had a rod in one hand and a staff in another. The rod was basically a big stick that was used to attack wild animals and protect the sheep, or to even be used as a weapon against robbers. The staff was the classic shepherd's crook, the long handle with the crook in the end that would be used to pull the sheep back as they were wandering too close to the edge, protect them from danger. It was used to pry sheep from loose thickets, to pull fallen sheep out of holes, and to lead them along that narrow path. Such tools were resources to comfort the fearful sheep. Isn't it good to know that our great shepherd has the tools to protect us? To protect us from dangers that sometimes we're not even aware of? Actually, as our van came to that rolling stop and stalled out in the middle of that intersection, I have to be honest with you, I was quite frustrated. And when I realized that we were going to have to replace the van, I was discouraged. But then, you know what I thought about was, I wonder why that happened right then. Could it have been that if we passed through that intersection and on to the next one, maybe we would have gotten T-boned by a semi-truck coming through? Who knows? But I do believe that the Lord was watching over us, protecting us along the way. Even though it costs some money, here we are, safe and sound. How many times does the Lord do that for us throughout our lives? How many times would Satan have led us astray if Christ had not been there to protect us? How many temptations would have overtaken us except the shepherd's hand was there to keep us from falling into yet another sin? How many accidents would have crushed us if the shepherd's rod and staff hadn't been there to protect us? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He feeds us. He restores us. He guides us. And he protects us. As we think about these metaphors of God's provision and protection for our life, I hope that our image of God is a little bit clearer. For he is the Lord, but he is also our shepherd. As I conclude, let me leave you with one question. And let me ask you this very seriously this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he? Some of you might be thinking, well, isn't the Lord everyone's shepherd? The answer to that question is no, he isn't. The Lord is not everyone's shepherd. There are many people who have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and shepherd. There are many who go through life that want to be their own shepherd, be their own guide, provide all of their own needs, their own protection. There are many people, unfortunately, who have no time or need for a divine shepherd. And so these promises that are made in Psalm 23 are not for everyone, but they're only for those who have truly made the Lord their shepherd by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you want the promises of this verse, bountiful provision, spiritual restoration, divine guidance, and supernatural protection, we must embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and our Shepherd. And so can we say with the psalmist, the Lord is my Shepherd. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful poem. These wonderful words written by David some 3,000 years ago that still minister to our hearts here today. Lord, I pray for all of us sitting here this morning, for those who might be in need of some physical provision, that you would meet our needs according to the bountiful riches that are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who are in need of spiritual restoration if we're going through a dry spell, a difficult time in our spiritual lives, that you would restore us, give us rest for our weary souls. For those of us who are in need of guidance, O Lord, facing some decision or some predicament or difficulty, that you would show us the way and lead us forward. Lord, I pray that you would protect all of us, even from dangers that we may not be aware. That you would keep us along the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, I pray most of all that if there be anyone in our midst this morning who has not truly put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they would do it this very moment. That they would know the joy of their sins forgiven. That they would know the peace of eternal security in heaven, and that they would know the grace of following a good shepherd who leads us all the way home. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.